Yes.
Okay. Our next speaker is going to talk about something we all used in Go, which is strings. If you didn't ever use it in Go, what are you doing here? So let's give a round of applause for Matej.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Excited to be here. Excited to see so many faces. Excited to speak first time at the FOSDEM. Also a bit intimidating. But hopefully I can show you a thing or two about string optimization in Go. About me, my name is Matej Gera. I worked as a software engineer at a company called Coralogix, where we're building an observability platform. Apart from that, I'm active in different open source communities, mostly within the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, specifically in the observability area. I work a lot with metrics. I'm a maintainer of the Thanos project, which I will also talk a bit about during my presentation. And apart from that, I contribute to a couple different projects, most interestingly, OpenTelemetry. And yeah, these are my handles. I'm not that active on social media. Best is to reach me on the GitHub issues directly or PRs. And let's get into it. So if anything else, I'd like you to take at least three things today from this presentation. So first of all, I'd like you to understand how strings work behind the scenes in Go. This might be old news for many people who are more experienced with Go, or might be a new knowledge for newbies, but I want to set kind of a common ground from which we then can talk about the optimization. Secondly, I want to tell you about the use cases in context of which I have been thinking about string optimization and where I think the presented strategies can be useful. And lastly, I want to tell you about the actual optimization strategies and show some examples of how they can be applied and where they have been applied. I won't be talking today that much about stack versus heap, although a lot of this has to do with memory. For the presentation, I kind of assume we'll be talking more about the heap and kind of a long-term storage of strings in memory. Also, won't be going into encoding or related types like runes and chars, although it's all kind of related, but it's outside of the scope for today. So let me first tell you what kind of brought me to this topic, what was the inspiration behind this talk. As I already said, I worked primarily in the observability landscape with metrics, and over the past almost 2 years, I was working a lot on the Thanos project, which I mentioned, and which you can, for simplicity here, imagine as a distributed database for storing time series. And with these goals, it's intended to store millions of time series, even up to or more than billion series. We have heard also about deployments like that. And as I was working with Thanos and learning about these various aspects and components, one particular issue that has been standing out to me was the amount of memory needed for certain Thanos components to operate. And this is partly due to the fact that the time series data is stored in memory in a time series database. And this is where I decided to focus my attention, where I started to explore like what are some possible avenues where we could optimize the performance here. Big role here was played by doing this in a data-driven way. So I started looking at different data points from Thanos I got, like metrics, profiles, and benchmarks. And this is a small side note, because I consider data-driven performance optimization to be of utmost importance when you're improving efficiency of your program. So I don't want to diverge here, but I highly recommend for you to check out a talk by Bartek Plotka, who I think is in the room here. So he's talking a couple slots after me, who is kind of dedicating a lot of his time into this data-driven approach to efficiency in Go ecosystem. I don't have it on the slide, but also the presentation that's after me, that has to do with squeezing Go functions, it seemed interesting. So a lot of optimization talks today, which I love to see. And you might also ask why strings specifically, what makes them so interesting or so optimization worthy. And although I've been looking at Thanos for some time, something clicked after I've seen this particular image at the different presentation. So this was a presentation from Brian Boram. I know he should be also somewhere around FOSDEM, who is working on a kind of a neighboring project called Prometheus, which is a time series database on which Thanos is built. So if Thanos is kind of a distributed version of the Prometheus, we reuse a lot of the code from Prometheus and also the actual time series database code. So he showed, based on the profile and on the icicle graph that you see here, that the labels take most of the memory in Prometheus, and that was around 1/3. And when I thought about it, the result was rather surprising to me, because the labels of the time series, we could think of them as some kind of metadata or some kind of contextual data about the actual data points, about the samples, as we call them. And these were taking up more spaces than those actual data points, those actual samples themselves. So there's been a lot of thought and work put into optimization and compression of the samples of the actual time series data. But Brian's finding indicated that there can be more can be squeezed out of labels. And what are actually labels? Labels are key value pairs attached to a given time series to kind of characterize it. So in principle, they are nothing more than pairs of strings. So this is what brought me in the end to the strings. And it inspired me to talk about this topic to a larger audience. I thought it might be useful to look at this from kind of a more general perspective, even though we're dealing with this problem in a limited space of observability. I think it can be also some learnings from this can be gained and used also in different in other types of programs. So first, let's lay foundations to our talk by taking a look at what string actually is in Go. So most of you probably are familiar with different properties of strings. They are immutable. They can be converted easily into slices of bytes, can be concatenated, sliced, etc., etc. However, talking about the qualities of strings does not answer the question what strings really are. And if you look at the source code of Go, you'll see that the strings are actually represented by the string struct struct. So strings are structs. Shocking, right? You can also get the runtime representation of this from the Reflect package, which contains the string header type. So based on these two types, we see that the string consists of a pointer to the actual string data in the memory, an integer which keeps the information about the size of the string. When Go creates a string, it allocates storage corresponding to the provided string size and then sets the string content as a slice of bytes. As you've seen, the string data is stored as a contingent slice of bytes in memory. The size of the strings stays the same during its lifetime, since, as I mentioned previously, the string is immutable. And this also means that the size and the capacity of the backing slice of bytes stays the same. When we put this all together, the total size of the string will consist of the overhead of the string header, which is equal to 16 bytes, and I show in a bit why, and the byte length of the string. We can break this down on this small example of the string I created with FOSDEM space waving hand emoji. So this is just a snippet. I don't think it would compile this code, but for brevity, I decided to just show these three small lines. And by calling the size method on the string type from the reflect package, you would see it return number 16. And don't be fooled, the size method returns only the information of the size of the type, not size of the whole string. Therefore, it correctly tells us it's 16 bytes, 18 bytes due to pointer pointing to the string in memory, and 8 bytes for keeping the string length information. To get the size of the actual string data, we have to use the good old len method. This tells us it's 11 bytes. Since the string literal here is UTF-8 encoded, we count 1 byte per each letter and space, and we need actually 4 bytes to encode the waving hand emoji. And this brings our total to 27 bytes. Interestingly, for such a short string, the overhead of storing it is bigger than the string data itself. It's also important to realize what happens if we declare a new string variable that is copying an existing string. In this case, Go creates what we can consider a shallow copy, meaning the data the string refers to is shared between the variables. Let's break it down again on the example of our FOSDEM string. So we declare a new string literal FOSDEM waving hand emoji, and then create a new str or new string variable and set it to value equal to string or str. What happens behind the scenes? If you would look at the values pointer of each of the strings, you would see different addresses, making it obvious that these are two different strings, strictly speaking. But looking at their headers, we would see identical information, same pointer to string data and same length. But because...
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt. Can we turn the light on the front off? Because
it's...
I cannot, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit light, right? Sorry. But anyway, so these are two different strings, strictly speaking. And looking at the header information, we would see that they point to same string data and have same length. But because they are two different strings, we need to be mindful of the fact that the new str comes with a brand new string header. So the bottom line is, when we do this copying, there is again, like, the even the data is shared, the overhead of 16 bytes is still there. So I briefly talked about my inspiration for this talk, but I also wanted to expand a bit on the context of the problems where I think the string optimization strategies can be useful. I think in general, many programs with characteristics of in-memory stores may face performance issue I will talk about in this slide. So such programs, I already mentioned numerous times, the time series database, DNS resolvers, or any other kind of